Yes, thank you so much for being on today so we could have a little assembly together. As the Savior said, where two or three are gathered in his name, he will be there. And whatsoever we ask in his name, he will do. So these type of opportunities are always important. When believers gather together in prayer, in supplication together, we could accomplish much, whether there be many of us or few of us. So this being the last day, the seventh day of the unleavened bread, there is so much we could cover that I feel like I'm doing an injustice, or I just can't cover it all. There's so much that, you could look at, because Messiah did so much for us. The whole way he lived, just as the song was saying, he was bruised for our iniquities, and his chastisement was for our peace. The song we just listened to. It's so much that we're grateful for. But I'll try to keep it simple, just to continue with what we started to do as far as the timing of his crucifixion and resurrection. As I covered the last time, I pointed out how when Messiah was condemned, he was imprisoned during the 7 days of unleavened bread. So we need to consider the time frame from the time the elders and council started to accuse Messiah to when Pilate actually delivered him to be crucified. So what are some things that we saw that happened? Is it first the elders and the council falsely accused and condemned him? And it was around 6 a.m., early in the morning. It says it was already light when they started to falsely accuse and condemn him around 6 a.m. That's the elders. Next, they later brought him to Pilate after questioning him and bringing many false accusations against him before Pilate. After that, after much deliberation, in attempt to release Messiah, Pilate wanted to release him. He didn't want to crucify him, as we know. Pilate sent him to Herod. Afterwards, at some point later, Herod sent him back to Pilate. And lastly, after many attempts to release Messiah, Pilate delivered him to be crucified. So we're going to look a little bit at that portion today, that whole process. I'll read a few verses from the Gospels about that, okay? So first one, Matthew 27, verses 26 to 27 says, "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Yeshua, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Yeshua into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head." Now, just to be clear, a reed is a piece of stick. It's not like a floppy thing. It just means it's a long stick, a baton. So they smote him on the head, and after they had mocked him, they took the robe off of him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify. So a little background on this, just for context, is in verses 17 to 24. So it says in verse 17, "Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto him, Who will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Yeshua, which is called Messiah? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Yeshua. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do with Yeshua, which is called Messiah? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Then Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands, and before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See it to it. So that's the context of what we just read prior. He released Barabbas and condemned Yeshua to be crucified. Now, as we just read verses 26 to 27, we might think it, you know, we might just conclude, okay, everything is happening on the same day. And it's reasonable, but not contextually. So we know from the facts that this all is not, everything here is not happening in all one day, necessarily. Him being condemned and to the point where he's led out to be crucified. He was not crucified on the same day he was condemned, because we know in chapter 19 of John that he was condemned at 12 noon. So this event here, so we know, happened in the afternoon, according to John, when he delivered him to be crucified. It was sometime after 12 noon, according to John 19, verses 14 to 16. We'll read that again a little later. So just to remind you, so often in scripture, you will see information given to us back to back. That could be in chronological order, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's happening all at one day. I won't necessarily go through trying to show that now, but we know this by context of time. Verse 26, he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Yeshua, he delivered him to be crucified. Listen to verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Yeshua, he delivered him to be what? To be crucified. So if we did not have verse 27, we could assume that he was immediately crucified, but that's not what happened. You see from verse 27, there's more information. And likewise, all of this information is not all happening immediately. We know this because, again, the testimony of John that says it was 12 noon this happened. And we know in Mark, the account of Mark, Mark tells us he was crucified at the third hour, which is around 9 a.m. in the morning, our time. So let's go back to this narrative. So after verse 32, back to verse 31, and they took off that purple, the robe that they put on, and they led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon, name by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. And what happened? And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Yeshua, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, and one on the right, and one on the other, on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, Thou that you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself, if you are the son of Elohim. Come down from the cross. Verse 41 of 27 says, Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He save others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in Elohim. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of Elohim. And the thieves which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. It's so harsh how that's written. Again, see, the chief priests, they were on the side, the scribes and the elders. So that's to show you this couldn't be Passover when this was happening. Although the condemnation that happened at 12 noon was during the feast at some point, keep in mind Yeshua was arrested when? Was captured when? Not when he was tried by Pilate, but since that night, he was basically kidnapped, you understand, captured for no cause. From that night, and that morning especially, the morning after, he was in bonds and being sent back and forth, being brutalized, and they were there. So according to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Messiah wasn't crucified immediately after he was condemned, but was handed to the Roman guards or garrison, as we read in Matthew 26, you know, as we just, that's also found in Mark 15, verse 16 through 20, and in Luke 23, verses 17 to 25, that same account showing he was delivered to the soldiers. So these gospels show that afterwards, Roman troops took Messiah away and they further brutalized him before they eventually crucified him. Again, the garrison is the place where troops are stationed or refer to troops stationed in a fortress or town to defend it. So why would so many soldiers be needed, about 10 to 40? Well, it's evidently Pilate handed Messiah to be guarded by the troops from the tumultuous Jews until the time of the crucifixion. Since we are told in the Gospel of Mark that Messiah was crucified at 9 a.m. in the morning, that would leave a time frame of only 3 hours from the time he was initially brought to Pilate for all these trial events and the crucifixion to occur. Can anyone in all sincerity and with wisdom teach that all these events happen in just 3 hours? The answer is no. So really, there's no need to guess. You know, the scriptures make it clear that Pilate gave in to the crucifixion request during the afternoon. John 19, verse 14 states, quote, "Now it was the preparation day of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, behold, quote, behold your king." The sixth hour is what we would call 12 noon. So again, the preparation and days of unleavened bread are used interchangeably. So why was this a preparation of him? It's because, as we read, the Passover, you are to eat it with unleavened bread for 7 days. So every day, you know, the lambs are not just going to be ready. You know, so you have to make preparation for each lamb. And even the unleavened bread, who knows how long it lasted, you know, from day one to day seven, they probably had to make some unleavened bread, you know, in the course of that time to have enough on a daily basis. They didn't have refrigerators, but definitely the lamb they had to prepare every day. So that's why during the daytime, it was still the preparation, because the lamb would have been eaten at night. And he said to the Jews, behold your king. So this fact shows that Messiah was not crucified in the morning after he ate the Passover with his disciples. It was at least one or more days after, simply because, again, Mark 15:25 states, quote, "Now it was the third hour and they crucified him." The third hour is 9 a.m. in the morning. So considering this, Messiah was crucified at 9 a.m. on a day after the day he was condemned in the afternoon. They could not have crucified him at the third hour, 9 a.m. in the morning, before Pilate gave him over around the sixth hour. So I just want us just to have that in mind, to not think that Messiah was just taken in the night and the next day crucified. That's not what happened. That's bad enough, but he suffered more than that. He spent 7 days in prison without cause. It's very likely he did, because he did not eat at all, because as you see, when he was being led, they offered him to drink. When he tasted water, he refused to drink anything. So he suffered a lot. He spent 7 days since the time he was arrested and he was later crucified. At any time, he could have freed himself, but he chose not to. As Felix would say often, he gave his life and he had power to take it again. So no one took his life from him, as he says. He even said, no one takes his life. He lays down his life. He did it willfully. And that's the character, and we are to put on the mind of Messiah. So when you think how brave that is, that's really bravery. You understand, to be strong and defend yourself against the people that are attacking you is interesting. But to be strong and for a greater purpose, allow yourself to actually suffer and yet overcome. That is really amazing.
Definitely. So, dear brethren, that's what happened to our Savior. Unless we find other reliable, authentic, apostolic teachings that say otherwise, that's what happened to our Savior when he was taken and crucified for us, and he rose from the dead mightily. Thank you.